All right, if you would happen to have your Bible with you this morning, if you can turn to the book of Acts. Acts is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. Acts chapter 2 is our text for the message this morning. Later this morning, of course, we are going to witness a baptism, and we're excited about that. Some may be familiar with what baptism is all about, and some may not. And so this morning I thought it would be good to look and see what the Bible says about it, why we practice it. We are, of course, a Baptist church, and we don't baptize just because we're a Baptist church. We baptize because we believe that it has its place in the Word of God, in the Bible. There's a lot of confusion around baptism. There's a lot of different religions that practice a lot of different kinds of baptism and different times and so on. And so there's a lot of confusion as to what baptism means, who it is for, why a person should be baptized, and what form that baptism should take. So this morning I'd like to look in the Bible and see what God says about baptism, because at the end of the day it's not what a Baptist says about baptism or any other particular religion says about baptism, it's what God says about it that we need to consider this morning. Because what I say is no more important than what you say, but what God says is more important than what we all say. And so that's what we want to look at this morning and see what God has to say about baptism. Clearly, baptism is more than just a man-made tradition, though, as I said, there's a lot of traditions that surround it. It's a biblical ordinance. There was a man named John who was called John the Baptist, and his life is recorded in the first few chapters of some of the gospel records. God sent him to baptize people, John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. Jesus went to John and was baptized of John. And then the Bible records that Jesus and his disciples baptized people after that. And so baptism is something, obviously, that God sent John to do. Jesus was the Son of God, and he baptized. And then what is commonly called the Great Commission, which is found in Matthew 28, amongst other places, Jesus gives a commission or an ordinance, a command to the church to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever Jesus had commanded. So very clearly, baptism is a picture in the Bible, and it's something that's found in the Bible. Looking at the book of Acts, chapter 2, as we do this morning, we see that Jesus' disciples, the ones that Jesus personally trained, they baptized people, and they taught about baptism. And so, with that thought in mind this morning, and the scriptures we'll look at together today, I'd like us to see the persons, the purpose, and the picture of baptism in a message that I've entitled, Are You Ready to Get Wet? Are you ready to get wet? And Acts chapter 2, verse 36, is where we will begin with the text for the message today. And it is kind of breaking into a thought, but we'd have to read almost the whole chapter not to, and so that would take some time. And so this is a message preached by Peter on what is called the day of Pentecost. And he says in verse 36, Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all your is unto you and to all your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful today for this special day. We thank you for Natalie and her desire to follow you in believer's baptism. Lord, thank you that we have this morning an opportunity to look in the Bible and see what baptism is all about so that we can better understand what Natalie is doing today and following you in this step. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see our place in the message this morning. And maybe there's some here this morning who need to follow you in that step. I pray that they would be willing to do that. Lord, I pray that those of us who have already followed you in baptism would rejoice today and be glad for this special time. And Lord, that we would celebrate with Natalie in this. And Lord, perhaps it may be here this morning that there may be some who have never really understood what baptism is about and never understood what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And maybe today would be a day where in their heart they would call upon you and ask you to save them and to come into their life and change their life as you have done for so many. And so, Lord, each one, we ask that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about the persons of baptism this morning in our text here that we just read. Who are the appropriate candidates for baptism? Who is it that should be getting wet or being baptized? In many churches, as where I was raised as a child, the typical candidate for baptism was a baby. I was sprinkled, baptized, as it was called, christened, whatever, as a baby many years ago in England. Or perhaps some it would be as a child. But we must see if these are the candidates mentioned in the scripture together this morning. I believe that we see in our text in verse number 37 that those who are to be baptized, the persons of baptism, are the people who have seen their need of forgiveness. People who have seen their need of forgiveness. It says in verse 37, when they heard this, what did they hear? They heard a message. They heard a message about Jesus Christ. They heard a message about the wrong that they had done, and when they heard it, they were pricked in their heart, they were convicted of what they had done, and they said, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent," we'll get to that part in just a moment, "and be baptized." And so a person who is to be baptized is a person who has seen their need of forgiveness. According to Peter's message, we would read in verse number 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Peter was talking to a group of people and he said to them, "Listen, you guys, you took Jesus, the Son of God, the one who is very evidently God the Son, and you killed him. You crucified him. You put him to death upon the cross." Now we've come to verse 37 that we read. They were pricked in their heart. What did they do? They realized we did the wrong thing. We were wrong in crucifying Jesus. We should not have done that. We did the wrong thing. We sinned. And so they were pricked in their heart and they recognized we need to be forgiven for the crime that we have committed. We need to be forgiven of that which we have done. Now we may look at them, and you and I may look at them, and you say, how could they kill Jesus? He did miracles. He healed people that were blind. He healed people that were deaf. He gave people the ability to walk who couldn't walk. He healed people that were sick of palsy, and he healed people who were sick of leprosy. How could they kill Jesus? Yeah, they needed forgiveness, all right. Who in their right mind would have done that? They needed to be forgiven. Yes, they did, but you know, the Bible says that there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. They may have been the ones who called out, "Crucify him," about the Son of God, but we are no more righteous than they. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." No matter how good we may perceive ourselves to be and think ourselves to be, and we may always be able to find somebody who is worse than us, as we would think these people probably were. We are sinners. See, God made the world perfect. He made a perfect couple, Adam and Eve, but they didn't take long before they disobeyed God and they sinned. And the Bible says that ever since Adam and Eve sinned, the death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. James tells us in James chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, "Whoso shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." How much does it take to make you a guilty party? Just one wrong thing. You say, well, I look at the Ten Commandments, I haven't killed anybody, and I look at the Ten Commandments, I haven't made any idols, and we start to add them up, and I'm pretty good. But what about that one that's going to get you? Have you taken God's name in vain? Have you borne false witness? Have you stolen something? Oh, just a little thing. No, have you stolen anything? See, we keep the whole law, yet we offend in one point. We are guilty of all. One sin is all it takes to make one a sinner. And we may be able to find other people to say, I'm pretty good. But that's not the standard. The standard is God and His holy word. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I ask you this morning, have you seen yourself as a sinner before a holy God? Have you seen yourself as one who is in need of forgiveness by God? We all need to come to that place in our life where we see our need of salvation and forgiveness. This is not to say that baptism is a means of salvation or forgiveness, because the Bible says it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin, not the water of baptism. It's Jesus Christ only who can forgive our sin. But these people who were on the verge of being baptized, as we saw that they were, the first thing they came to the place was they realized they needed to be forgiven. Now, how did they get forgiven? Well, that's the next part, isn't it? The person of baptism is a person who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Peter said, repent. Repent. They had to turn from their sin and believe in Jesus Christ. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. They needed to believe in that Jesus who, just a few weeks before, they said, we don't believe in Him. We just think He's an ordinary person. They had to come to the place where they realized that He was Lord and Christ, as Peter said. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. They need to realize that He is Lord. He is Christ. He is the Savior. He is God the Son. Though previously they hadn't believed in the supernatural aspect of Jesus' life, now they did. And it was upon that profession which they made that they were baptized. Say, how do you know that? Well, look what it says in verse 41, it says, they that gladly received His word. What word was that? To believe in Jesus Christ. To turn from their sin and believe in Christ. They that gladly received His word were baptized. They believed. They believed the message. They believed that this Jesus whom they had crucified was Lord and Christ. The Bible is clear that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, the only way to God. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. See how simple salvation is? Believe in Jesus Christ and Him alone. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He didn't say, I am a door. He said, I am the door. In John 14:6, He said it this way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. There's only one way. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. These people needed to come to the place, and they did come to the place where they said, Jesus Christ is the only one who could save me. Before, I thought that He was a deceiver, a blasphemer, but now I realize that He is God the Son, and He is the Savior who can take away my sin, and I return from my sin, and I believe in Him. And upon that profession, they were baptized. They were ready to get wet because they had believed in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, there's a man who was a jailer, and he had some people in his prison who were there not because they'd done anything wrong, but because some people were upset at them for preaching about Jesus Christ. And in the wee hours of the morning, there was an earthquake, and that man thought to take his life because he thought the prisoners had escaped, and he thought there was no hope for him. And those men who had been in there for preaching about Jesus Christ said, do yourself no harm, we're all here. That man said this, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know what they said? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. salvation. So simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't have a list of things where you first do this, then you do this, and you do this, and you do this. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He saw his need, and he wanted to know how to have his need met, and that was found in Jesus Christ. Every time a person is baptized in the Bible, it's after professing faith in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says, the people of Samaria, upon hearing the word that Philip preached, believed, and they were baptized. In Acts chapter 8, verses 35 to 38, we find a man who is a stranger, an Ethiopian man. He's traveling. He hears about Jesus Christ, and he says, what's preventing me from being baptized? Peter said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. That man said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And they stopped the chariot and he got baptized right then at that time. His faith preceded his baptism. In Acts chapter 18 and verse number 8, it says that those of Corinth, that many hearing the words about faith in Jesus Christ, believed and were baptized. Typically, people were baptized immediately after they believed in Christ. There is nowhere in the Bible where somebody is baptized before they believed in Jesus Christ. People believe and then they're baptized. See, the people of baptism are those who have seen their need of salvation and placed their faith in Jesus Christ for that salvation. And upon that profession, they are baptized. If you've seen your need of forgiveness and believed in Christ, you are a person, a candidate, a suitable candidate for baptism. But what is the purpose of baptism? Why do people get baptized? I mean, okay, it's people who have believed in Jesus, but why? What's the point? Why does God expect people to be baptized? Well, it's not for salvation or forgiveness. Though some teach baptism as a work or step towards salvation, the Bible is clear that no work of any kind can bring about salvation. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not any kind of work. It doesn't matter if it's a good thing, it's not any kind of work. No amount of work, number of times being baptized, no amount of money in the offering plate, no amount of doing any good things can do anything for your salvation. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. As we said before, He is the door, He is the way, the truth, and the life. So Paul said in Galatians 2:21, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you could earn your way to heaven, why did Jesus suffer the awful atrocities of the cross? Why was he beaten and nailed to the cross and disfigured so people couldn't even recognize him? Why did he hang in agony and saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If we could earn our way to salvation. We can't. That's why Jesus hung there. His blood was shed because that was the only way we could be saved. So baptism is not to earn salvation. It's not a part of our salvation. As often been said, the thief on the cross that died beside Christ, who recognized that he was there justly for his crimes. Jesus said, was to be in paradise that day. He wasn't baptized. He didn't do any good works. He died as a thief, but he died in faith in Jesus Christ. So the purpose of baptism is not salvation. So what is it? Well, it's obedience. Peter commanded these people to repent and be baptized. To believe and then follow up their belief with being baptized. In Matthew 28, verse 19, as we mentioned already, the Bible tells us as a church, as Christians, to go and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus commanded the church to baptize. It's a command to be done, and the individual who believes is told or commanded to be baptized. We find in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15, that when Jesus himself was baptized, John the Baptist said, no, this isn't right. You are God in the flesh, and I'm just a man. I should be baptized of you. You shouldn't be baptized by me. And Jesus said this to John. He said, suffer it now to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. It was a matter of submission and obedience. It was a picture, of course, of what we would do in following the Lord, but Jesus said, suffer it now to be so, for thus it fulfills all righteousness. It becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. If a person is a believer, then they are to be baptized. That's what the scriptures teach. Repent and be baptized. Those that believed were baptized. It's a command of God to follow the Lord in that step. It's often called the first step of obedience. One of the reasons is because, as we've said in the scriptures, normally people believed, and that very same day they were baptized. We read it here in our text. They gladly received His word, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them, added to that assembly, added to that group of believers, about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people that day said, we were wrong in crucifying Jesus. We believe that He is the Son of God. We place our faith in Him. And now we want to follow Him in baptism. In the Great Commission, as we said, Jesus says, go and teach all nations, share the gospel. And those that believe are baptized, and then teach them to observe all things, Jesus said, whatsoever I have commanded you. Baptism is a step in learning about the Lord. It's the first step of obedience, as we said, often referred to. Why? Because it's upon profession of faith, and then after it, there's lots of learning about Jesus Christ, lots of learning about the Bible, lots of learning about His ways. If a believer will not submit to the first command of Christ, it's likely they won't submit to the rest and will be stunted in their spiritual growth. To submit to God's ordinance of baptism is a step in growing as a believer in Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian here today, you placed your faith in Christ, I ask you, have you followed in obedience to His command? The purpose is obedience, and the purpose is identification. You see, when Peter told them to be baptized, he said to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. As we said, when Jesus gave that commission, He says, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's about identifying with Christ and testifying to faith in Him. Baptism is a public step. We're gathered here this morning and we're going to witness Natalie being baptized today. Say, why didn't we just go, you know, come over here to the church during the week and just, you know, a couple people just come over here and we'll just quietly baptize and move on? Well, no, because we see in the scriptures it's a very public event. It wasn't done secretly, it was done in public because the person who is being baptized is identifying with Jesus Christ. Usually in the Bible it was done at a lake or a river. And we look at the testimonies of when John baptized, there were many people watching. People witnessed the person's self-identification with Christ. For some, that public identification with Christ may cause them to be excluded by others. I'm sure that there were people, and very clearly there was, when persecution was in the early days of the Bible, in the early days of the book of Acts, people who publicly declared, I believe in Jesus Christ, and people saw them get baptized. From that moment, they were persecuted by people who didn't believe. And it's the same today. Not so much in our culture, not so much in our country, fortunately, thankfully for that. But there are many places where a person, see, belief is very personal, isn't it? What do people say? You know, you don't talk about religion and politics. Belief, faith is personal, but when a person gets baptized, it makes that personal faith very public. It's an identity. It's identifying, it's saying, that which I've done in my heart, I want to show you, I believe. I believe in Jesus. By being baptized, people are identifying themselves with Jesus Christ and with those who believe in Him. As we see in our text in verse 41, it says the same day were added unto them. So those people, those 3,000 people, they became known with the group of 120 people that were met in the upper room before. the disciples of Jesus and the followers of Jesus, they became known as followers of Jesus Christ. They identified with Jesus and with that group. That group then goes on to learn more about Jesus together. As we read, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Baptism is a step of obedience which identifies us with Jesus Christ and His church. So the people of baptism are those who realize their need and then place their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. The purpose is obedience and identification. And then we see this morning that there's a picture or two with baptism. Baptism is a picture. And if you would like to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 6, the next book over from Acts is the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. And it gives us the picture of baptism here. Romans 6, verse number 3, the Bible says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When a person is baptized, they picture the gospel message or the good news of salvation that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again for our salvation. When they're lowered into the water, that pictures Jesus' death and burial. And when they're brought back up out of the water, that pictures Jesus' resurrection. I always say it's a good thing Jesus rose again, isn't it? Or else nobody would make it past baptism. We'd all drown in the baptism tank. But Jesus rose again. And praise God, it's a picture when that person comes out of the water, it's testifying to the fact that Jesus arose so I could be saved. They're testifying to their belief. As we said, they're identifying. They're saying, "I believe that Jesus died for me, that He was buried for me, and that He rose for me." They're also saying this: all you who are watching, Jesus died for you. Jesus was buried for you. Jesus rose again so you could be saved. It's a testimony because it's a picture. When we watch the baptism at the end of the service today, don't ever forget, don't ever just get caught up in the, well, we know the person who's going to baptize. Praise God you do, but listen to the message she is telling you. Jesus died for you. And Jesus rose so that you could have salvation. You can be saved by believing in Him. Jesus died for all mankind, and His death made salvation available to all who would believe in Him and be saved. That's what Peter said in back in our text in Acts chapter 2, he says that this message is for all who the Lord will call. It's for all to hear. It's for all to listen to because it's a message that's available for you. It's a picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, but it's also a picture of the desire of that person to live a new life through Jesus Christ. We just read here in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, look at that last phrase, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When we are baptized, are saying, I used to live for myself, I used to live in sin, but I don't want to live that way anymore. Jesus Christ has changed my life, and I want to live a new life with Him. It's a testimony. Becoming a Christian is not becoming religious. Becoming a Christian is having a new life given to you. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Christians are not perfect. We do not become perfect at any time in our earthly life. But our life has been changed. Our life has been made new in Jesus Christ. We didn't turn over a new leaf. God gave us a new life. And the Bible says that we lived long enough in the flesh, and now as Christians, we need to live for Christ. And so that the pictures that we say, listen, enough of the old life. It's time to live for Christ. It's time to walk with Him and follow His steps. And so that just concludes us with this thought. Why do we baptize the way we do? Well, we baptize the way we do because it pictures the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, and because it pictures our desire to die to our old way of life and live a new life unto Christ. There are numerous means of baptism that are used today and that have been used over the centuries of time. Sprinkling, pouring, immersing. The word baptize actually literally means, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means to immerse, to dip, to submerge or make whelmed. We believe that only by immersion can baptism truly picture what it's supposed to. When Jesus was buried, He was put completely in the tomb. It was a stone rolled in front. There's no doubt about it. He was buried. When He rose fully and completely out of that tomb. When we become Christians, our life is changed by God, and we walk in newness of life. And so we baptize by total immersion. I mentioned to you, I was christened, sprinkled as a child. When I was 12 years old, I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And following that, I was immersed upon the profession of my faith, as we'll see this morning. Natalie will do the same thing. See, the mode of baptism is immersion, because that's what pictures those two things that we've just spoken about. And so as we come to witness the baptism of a believer today, it's important we know what it's all about. It's not just a religious ritual. It's not just the Baptist thing to do. We've just seen it's in the Bible. That's where it comes from, because if it's just the Baptist thing to do, who cares? But if God says it, that's important. That's what we need to do, what God says to do. There's a person, purpose, and picture of baptism. The person is one who has come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and salvation. There's no other prerequisite. Just simple faith in Jesus Christ. Realizing you're a sinner, placing your faith in Jesus to forgive you of your sin. That's salvation. It's so simple. Oh, I'm glad it's so simple. I'm glad that the evidence from here in Acts chapter 2 is that people even who we would say were so wicked that they crucified Jesus, God loved them so much He was willing to forgive them. You know what that tells me? He's willing to forgive me too. He's willing to forgive you too. No matter what you've done, no matter what sin you may look at that may be a big blot in your life, you say, I'm a sinner, I know it, I see what I've done, I remember what I've done. Jesus Christ came so that you could be forgiven of your sin. And if you place your faith and trust in Him, the Bible says that He will cleanse you from your sin. He will do that today. If you from your heart ask Him to forgive you and place your faith and trust in Him. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? If you haven't, would you make today that day? Today, that day of faith in Christ, if you have believed, have you followed Christ in this step of baptism? Why would you do that, preacher? Well, because it's obedience. God tells us to do it and identifies us with Him. And it pictures the gospel that Jesus died for us so that we could have eternal life through Him. So this morning I ask you, if you haven't already done so, are you ready to get wet? Let's pray together.